110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Wednesday, April 26th, 2023. And we are going to discuss some transfer portal stuff tonight. Hit up a little bit about the spring game since we haven't really talked about it yet. And then we'll finish up on some draft stuff since the draft starts tomorrow night. Obviously we got a couple Buckeyes that should be in the first round, and then some others scattered throughout the draft as we go on. So we will hit that up as the end of the show. First things first, transfer portal. So we have a few Buckeyes hit the portal over the last 2 weeks. Jake Siebert, the kicker. Ben Chrisman just announced yesterday that he was entering the portal, lineman, and then his name just slipped me. We were just literally talking about him.
Caleb Burton,
Caleb Burton, wide receiver. He also has announced that he's going in the portal. Not necessarily a lot of surprises with some of this stuff. I guess probably the one I was most surprised on with Chrisman, just because it seems like that we probably have the most openings on the offensive line. Yeah. And I don't think we need to get any, lose any more people there. It's like the cupboard's not really, really full. Lose a guy, but you know, there's some other guys around the country that are in the portal. So maybe this is an indication that Ohio State is looking very hard at the portal, and maybe he's getting some interest, and maybe he's been in the program for a few years. Maybe he just saw that the writing maybe was on the wall that they're not heading his way. Maybe things are not going in favor for him. And instead of necessarily plugging him in, they are looking outside the program to bring in a couple guys. I guess that's kind of one way maybe you can look at it. Siebert, I seemed like the kid from USC that came in, again, his name's slipping my
Parker Lewis.
Yeah. Sounds probably right. Right. it seems like that maybe he's, kind of passing him up to begin with. It seems like that there's been, some indication that he's possibly the go-to kicker going into the season. We've heard different things throughout the off season so far. And with Burton, I mean, actually, you know, I kind of said it the day of the spring game. I'm like, I bet like it didn't seem like we saw Burton at all. I don't know if he was hurt or not, but it was just like, we were seeing some of the other guys, Carnell Tate, the Rogers guy, brothers, you know, you still got Ennis coming in. I mean, they're not brothers, but you know,
right,
I'm gonna call them the Rogers brothers until one of them leaves. I mean, if they both stay same class, Rogers brothers, that works for me. But Tate's obviously really pushed himself into a possibility where he could be, you know, a rotational guy this year
for sure.
And you got a lot of guys back, so the mixture of all that stuff, it just seemed like, and I said to you, you kind of agree to me. It just seemed like Burton was the one that was screaming out to me that I'm like, I bet he'll transfer. Yeah. And so like, and that was no inside information or anything. It was just kind of a gut feeling that, felt like that was the way that was going. So, your thoughts on all that?
Like you said, Siebert doesn't really surprise me whatsoever. I mean, they brought in a third, fourth scholarship kicker last year, Parker Lewis though, obviously has a big leg. I think Siebert does too. He was a very highly recruited kicker, or at least, you know, I don't know. Are kickers highly recruited? I don't know. I think he had stars, you know, he was a good kicker, but it was something that he just never made it work on the field and never kind of lived up to his potential here. So that happens whenever he had to go. Ben Chrisman, I thought he would have been a solid piece. I mean, Matt Jones and Jackson, I mean, Matt Jones is certainly gone after this year, but there's a good chance, you know, Jackson's gone after this year, and there's two guard spots that are open up for next year. So I don't know. I mean, he must have just not been, and, well, he was actually kind of weird to me because he's what, a 2020 kid, I think.
Yeah, he's been in with 2 years. I think
he's been in there for a hot minute. So, I mean, you would think, cause he was pretty highly recruited out of Revere, that you would hear more from him. At least I think I'm thinking of the right guy there. Right. And yeah,
I want to think so. I think you are right on that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was a big get. I remember talking about him, and so, I mean, I'm a little, I don't want to say, like, you know, I'm not disappointed in his performance, his growth or development or anything, but it's just, obviously he's a little bit behind where you thought he was going to be. But that happens. And, you know, there's plenty of good talent, you know, inside the state or other Big Ten schools. If he goes somewhere else, that he has a chance to play right away. And maybe he feels like he's developed and he's ready to go, and there's just a log jam in front of him. I don't know. I mean, Ohio State, you're hoping that they recruit good competition on the offensive line. So maybe it just didn't look that promising for him to get on the field. And then Caleb Burton, I think Caleb Burton has real talent. Probably go somewhere in Texas, probably do a really good job. So, you know, that's awesome for him.
But there's just a big log jam there. I mean, we've talked about
that's that like
there.
Really that was the only spot we can afford to lose people. Like, I'm thinking, like, we still have guys that are probably coming in, but we're so over the scholarship count. I'm thinking, man, you don't want to lose any more defense. You're like, you don't want to lose defensive linemen, offensive linemen. You got numbers, but they're not great depth there. You know, like, which ones can actually play? Like, I mean, there's a couple names I probably would want to see that go before Ben Chrisman, but they might have more tackle bodies, so maybe we actually need them. But, you know, Lorenzo Styles coming in to visit this weekend to possibly be coming as a, you know, transfer cornerback. Tywon Malone, he's a defensive tackle that Buckeyes were pretty high up on a couple years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 1 year. I believe so.
I mean, Buckeyes made his final five, I believe. So he's coming in this weekend. And then the name of, I think it's Josh Simmons or it's something Simmons, I'm pretty sure, is coming in. He's a offensive lineman from San Diego State this weekend.
Mm-hmm, I saw that one.
So, I mean, if you did add any of these guys, you know, that still keeps putting you over that scholarship count. So, I mean, the only spots you can really take away feels like receiver. I mean, running back room's pretty loaded. You hate to see any of those guys go, but that's...
Yeah, I think we know which one. We've talked about that one before. I mean, I still have Pryor as kind of my... He's my alarm right
you
now.
You can't let Dallin go. Chip, I like a lot. I mean, I don't want Pryor to leave, but, you know, certainly it's like... numbers aren't looking right there. I mean, maybe safeties, but you put three out on the field at once. I know you got a really deep safety room, but a lot of them are young. Like,
you got a lot of linebackers too, that with the two coming back and kind of Hicks. I mean,
you don't want to lose Simon though. You probably won't lose Simon. I mean, he's at the end of his career.
I think he's staying. I think probably the one you'd probably be really nervous about is guys like Carrico and Powers in there that, you know,
you can't lose them. I mean, they looked okay during the spring game. I know what Dallin Hayden knocked Carrico on his ass, but Carrico got right through the line. Gabe looked good. I mean, I don't want Powers can't go anywhere.
It's just you only have two guys out there at any one time, even at times when you might be using three. It just seems like there's a possibility of spots you could lose those guys. You know, on the whole Chrisman thing, I'm surprised about it. Just we don't have, I mean, I know there's depth in the room, it's just not proven depth, but he could be a Fry casualty. Like, you know, I don't know, you know, Fry's a new coach, came in last year, didn't recruit this kid. I don't know. Maybe maybe Justin Fry is actually some of these guys that we don't know much about, and not necessarily Fry recruited those guys neither, but maybe some of those guys are just higher on his list.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was kind of thinking, even though he's not going to project as a guard, maybe Luke Montgomery is impressing more people than, you know, he's impressing people.
Oh, and
maybe,
I think he is, for sure.
He could be, maybe they think he's mean enough to be a guard, at least for this year, where he could put some depth, where he could play multiple positions, and maybe they're willing, maybe he's kind of up on the higher on the totem pole right now, and they want to get him on the field. And that could be something, if, you know, Crispin could see that, and, you know, that's a true freshman, and if he's going to be taking time away from him because they really want to get him on the field, then, you know, I could see that one too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So there's possibilities there. And, you know, some of these other guys might, maybe, you know, maybe the, you know, the, what is it? Mikalski, or is that how
is that? Yeah. Mihalski.
Yeah. Maybe he's not necessarily portraying himself as a tackle, and they need to bring in a couple extra tackles, but maybe some of these guys are looking better at guard. You know, some of the complaints we've been hearing has been more on the outside, and maybe that's where they're going to focus. They need to, they possibly need to bring in a couple guys to play tackle, but maybe a couple of these guys that we thought could play tackle are actually doing really good at guard, and they're just higher up than Crispin is.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be a possibility too. And that could be where the depth needs to go. And, you know, we'll move some of those guys inside, and then we'll bring in maybe a transfer or two, you know, to fill out some of the outside. I mean, so there's a lot of things there. It could be, obviously they don't really get into specifics, but so there's some speculation there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think any of them are a big loss at this point. Weird, you know, for Crispin, for just the depth piece that, you know, it seems like he really had a chance, if not this year, to next year really contribute for the team. So that's a strange one to me, but I don't think any of them are backbreakers at this point. But I mean, it's always interesting to see how these things play out, especially when you got scholarship numbers like this. I mean, I do want to say, moving forward though, man, they really got to try to find a way to balance their scholarships a little bit better. I know I'm one of those ones that are always like, I'm never going to fault Brian Hartline for signing, you know, 5-star receivers or whatever, but you can't be this light on defense. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or on your offensive line, like, you just, I feel like you got to be just more balanced with talent everywhere.
Yeah. I think a lot of it came into that, and hopefully things start solidifying on defense. But I think we've had so many misses on defense over the last several years is that they have openings. So they're, and we've kind of talked about this in the past. Maybe you should have, instead of maybe signing, bringing on a fourth or fifth wide receiver, or, you know, another running back or somebody that's just depth, maybe they should have went out and went after a transfer player or two on defense, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that's something, you know, we kind of see how the year goes and we'll speculate on it then.
Or not have three or four scholarship kickers at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. That one always kind of threw me too, but I don't know. I'm not ready to Siebert leaving, that kind of, you know, fixes some of that stuff. Yeah, so
for sure,
you know, we don't need that many kickers. Jim Tressel ain't the coach anymore of this team.
Jim Tressel wouldn't have had that many kickers on the team. Jim Tressel would have had one reliable kicker.
I don't hate Jim backup. Tressel. I love Jim Tressel. I Buckeyes. That was my first national championship was under Tressel. I love Tressel ball, trust me. But we don't need as many kickers.
Yeah.
Tressel probably salivated on that. It's like, we have options at the in the
game. Right. I got my kickoff kicker. I got my accuracy kicker. I got my long kicker. Yeah, he would have loved it.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how some of that stuff plays out. Spring game. So actually we'll start with,
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We'll start with the offensive line since we just finished up on the Christmas stuff. We'll just kind of segue
So we're going to start with the ugly.
Yeah. Cause you know, the ugly and a little bit of the bad. I mean, what can I say? There's, and that's kind of where the Christmas stuff was like really wondering, kind of, I was a little surprised about just because I'd be like, we can't afford to lose anybody there. And so Stud kind of put us in those last couple of seasons, kind of put us in a bad spot. And we've talked about this before. Kind of feels like how we were kind of put in a bad spot and corner kind of in different spots, but
I think we were put in really rough spots with corners, but
I think that has
that was more that was more the coaching changing and Taver just that's striking out.
Yeah, Taver struck out, but we had a lot of coaching turnover there.
Yes.
Where Stud, we didn't have coaching turnover on the offensive line. And you know, I've always been a kind of a neutral, I was always a neutral kind of person when it came to Stud, because I always thought Stud had some really good classes, you know, and I thought Stud developed his offensive line very well, you know, also, but it just seems like the last couple seasons, you know, you could always, you always knew he was never the most dedicated recruiter. And it kind of seemed like that his back issues and stuff was starting to kind of catch up to him on the developing part of it. And we kind of got behind the eight ball there. And I think Fry's doing a pretty good job. It seems like we've gotten some, we're in some, on some people that I think we could really hit on. It just, we're in kind of a 2-year gap where I don't think we got enough depth or enough quality talent to really, and that's kind of where we're at there, that there's kind of a 2-year mark in there where it's kind of hurting the line right now. And that's what we're seeing right now. So maybe they can plug and play a couple people on the offensive line through the transfer portal. It just, it seems like they definitely need something after watching the spring game. And I know you can't 100% say, you know, we're going to dedicate everything that's we saw in the spring game is what, you know, going into the season, don't fall down that trap. There's a lot of time to still develop and stuff like that. But there's some concerns there. And I think those, some of those concerns are warranted.
I mean, I will always, I will say to try to put some people's minds at ease though, that a experienced defensive line will always make a, especially with the high caliber players, will always make a inexperienced offensive line look pretty bad during, you know, practice 15, the spring game. So they're always going to be well ahead of them, and it's going to be a lot easier for them than it is for the offensive line. So, yeah. I mean, take that what you will, that might be, you know, a little bit of copium there, but I just, it's facts. So that, you know, it's a lot easier for a defensive lineman to just try to run by an offensive lineman, especially when it's an inexperienced guy in practice 15. So it's something that can definitely be worked on during the summer. You got 3 pretty easy games to open up the season. I mean, no offense, Indiana fans, but definitely something that you got to get together. You know, you got to get it fixed, but it's something that, you know, that defensive line will make a lot of offensive lines probably look bad this year. And one that's not very experienced, that's still going through scrimmages and practices. Yeah. It's going to be hard for them to keep up.
Yeah. And you kind of don't want to, I mean, we've loved the passing game so much over the last several years. I would say work on.
You might have to work on run blocking, man, because I don't know if you have the time to pass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And run blocking, if your guys are mean enough, run blocking is easier than pass blocking. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, people think pass blocking, all it is you just stand there. There's a lot that goes into pass blocking. Run blocking is just, you got to know who you're blocking, and then you go, you know, pretty much annihilate them. And then in the ones that, and when you're double teaming somebody, know when to pull off of somebody to go up to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, there, it's just, it's a little bit more basic than pass blocking, where there's, you know, much more things where you're sliding coverages to and stuff. It comes into play, and we're finding blitzers where blitzing on, even run blitzes are important, but they're not necessary. If long as you can kind of keep the run blitzer away from your running back, you know, push him off, that actually frees up a lineman and to go up to another level. So, you know, it's just different run blocking to pass blocking. And from what we saw from the running backs, you know, that is actually, you know, when you think offensively, obviously the receiving room looks the most crisp. I mean, there's nothing to say about that. Carnell Tate just seems like another great addition to what that room can be.
Yeah, and I thought actually Gray's looked pretty good too. I don't remember if Antley played or how he looked. I felt like he broke open on one, but that might have been Keon Graves, but I thought they both looked good. Ballard, I know, almost had a touchdown, and yeah, definitely. That's an interesting name now that I think about it, but we can save that one for another day because we're in the spring game now.
I was, I think the most impressed I was though was with the running back room, and even though you know you don't see Trey, you don't see Mayan really, but I like what I saw from Chip. I liked what I saw from Dallin.
Chip's that's why
I
think Pryor,
could be out of there, but. I think they're to the point now is like, you think about it, you know, Trey's had some injuries over the last 2 years, you know, Mayan's
injuries.
A beat up. He's had injuries, but you know, he plays beat up. I mean, you know, it's going to be very hard to get Mayan out of there, but I saw some things now from Dallin's really looking. I mean, he looked like a rock out there. I mean, so he's definitely, you know, really bulked up in the off season. So he's going to, you know, bring a different type of game, I think, to it. You know, he ran with some authority last year and now he's going to have the body size to do it. And I really liked what I saw from Chip, and Chip already has the body. So like,
Chip's more explosive and it's a big back than Mayan is too.
Like obviously Trey and Mayan are your go-to guys, but I feel more secure. It was funny. We were loaded in the running back room, but there was a lot of things that had made us nervous going into the spring game. Cause like, you know, the injuries were so weird last year. Yeah. And you know, how's Dallin going to look in his second year? You know, is Chip ready to maybe take on more of a role if he needs to? And I'm fully secure with that room now. Now you got a lot more depth in that room. And I know it's just a spring game, but we saw, I think, enough from both of them actually in the season last year that I liked that, you know, there's nothing going to be like, if they have to go in and start a game or play significant time, I don't think it's going to be too much for them. Like, I feel comfortable right now. If we go back into the Georgia game and, you know, Dallin Hayden and Chip Traynham, they could easily get the ball more than they did, you know.
They should have anyways, but
I don't feel nervous about that if Trey and Mayan aren't playing a game that, you know, if we're going up to Ann Arbor next year and you got to rely on Chip or Dallin Hayden, they could do it and they could go win a game for you.
Should have anyways last year.
exactly. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think the coaches are going to feel more comfortable with that. So
if this season looks like Ohio State has to get their yards, and I'm not going to say points, but if yards and a good amount of their points have to come through on the ground, and then it's like when you have to, like, hey, try to cover Carnell Tate, try to cover, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr., try to cover, you know, Emeka Egbuka, like, to get them a first down, get a touchdown, move the chains, whatever. Like, hell, that could be a very dangerous looking offense at the end of the day, you know, if you can figure out that run game.
And that's kind of like the way right now, that's the way I'd kind of play it. Got a new quarterback starting. I know McCord's played, but you know, and it seems like he's obviously the favorite now, you know, with Devin Brown not playing in the spring game, he'll probably be he's the odds on favorite to be the starting quarterback going into the season. You know, you're obviously way talented at wide receiver, but you got a new quarterback starting and you got an offensive line you need to break in. Even if they end up getting a couple guys in the transfer portal that are plug and play guys that could be starters, you still got to get them all the gel together with the interior guys. I mean, that's going to take a few games. So, you know, rely on the running game. And I think you could rely on the running game. And like I said, running blocking you should be able to get these guys on target with run blocking fairly quickly. As long as what I've always said about run blocking, as long as you got linemen who really love the game of football and they're really good, like they are talented players that love the game of football and they're mean, mm-hmm. run blocking is not a hard thing. It's right. like literally, I mean, there's, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to like, you know, obviously there's some more skill going in with some of the zone blocking and stuff like that. I get that. But if it's just like, you know, we're just playing straight up, that yeah. guy's the guy you got to go hit and push off the bling. You know, it is what it is. And you're early in your schedule. I mean, granny, you play Notre Dame eventually, you know, Indiana, even though, yeah, they're not, you know, Michigan, but you know, they're still a Big Ten team. They're going to have legitimate players on their defensive line. You know, Tom Allen does his defense is normally better than his offense.
Yeah.
But they should be able to move those guys off the ball and the other teams that they're going to play. So early in the schedule, you should be able to play kind of smash mouth football with those running backs, in my opinion.
Right.
And ease McCord and ease those linemen pass blocking wise into the bulk of your Big Ten schedule. And, you know, you got some tough Big Ten teams that you play every year and you're adding Wisconsin and Minnesota to that mix. So it's like, it's no picnic. The Big Ten schedule is not going to be an easy run for them. So they need to get those guys kind of into the mix as much as possible, but you got to win football games too. You can't just go, you can't look like crap, lose a game. Like, you can afford to lose against Notre Dame, but you can't afford to lose against Notre Dame and anybody else. So like,
right.
That's the way you look at it. If somehow they get upset in South Bend, I would hate it, but it is what it is. Like you can survive that.
Well, but the only thing that scares me ever with Notre Dame is you got to win out. If you win out at that point, you're fine. But
Notre Dame could.
That always scares me about Notre Dame is them running the table and they stay in front of you.
Yeah. At that point, if Ohio State would win now, lose to Notre Dame, win out and win the Big Ten, even if Notre Dame falls undefeated, I think then where that gets hurt is it's going to hurt a Pac-12 school. It's going to hurt a Big 12 school. It's going to hurt somebody else somewhere.
An SEC runner up because, you know,
an SEC runner up. I don't see a one-loss Ohio State at this point. You know, they are such great rankings, especially a one-loss Ohio State that wins the Big Ten. Like if they win the Big Ten, they beat everybody else on their schedule and they have a good schedule, you know, they can afford a loss in that schedule as long as they win the Big Ten. And, you know, I mean, last year they didn't even win the Big Ten. So.
Right. No, I know. They almost got to the national title game too. Okay, let's move forward to the good of, unless there's more ugly you want to talk about. Let's talk about what we thought was good in the spring game. And I know we talked a little bit about the receivers, but.
I mean, I just want to say one thing about Carnell Tate, and then we're going to move on to the defense, because I think there was a lot of the defense I liked.
Yeah, from what I saw. And we said the running backs look good, so yeah.
Yeah, I really like what I saw from the running backs. The receivers, I mean, they're not going to miss, as long as they can get to the ball to them, they're not going to miss the beat in the receiving core. And Carnell Tate is now a real threat. And that's where, we've talked about this before. Ballard could be somebody that ends up going. I know we probably should have mentioned him here at the beginning of the thing, but you know, Carnell Tate, you know, Ballard's been in the program for a few years and Carnell Tate hasn't. And if Carnell Tate is that new shiny object that, you know, for a lack of a better terms, that they're at the same level, then, you know, that's kind of the spot where like, well, let's go with the freshman.
I mean, he was doing something right. He was targeted quite a bit in that spring game. So he's obviously someone that the quarterbacks are comfortable throwing to already.
Yeah. You could tell that they threw to him a lot in the practices because he was targeted. He was looked for. McCord wasn't not throwing to him because, you know, he just not comfortable with it. Obviously, McCord's hit Carnell Tate a couple times in practice this year because he felt comfortable finding him and going for him. You know,
Jelani Thurman, I just want to say he is a dude, man.
I know there's probably, as a tight end, there's probably, especially with Ohio State, I'm sure there's a couple things that he needs, you know, clean up before they're comfortable with him on the field, because they like their tight ends being finished products before they see the field. But man,
and there's a
that
spot
is, that is a 6'6 dude.
And we've talked about that one too. There's a spot in the tight end room where they could lose somebody. You know, I mean, it's not the deepest room in the world, but they do got players there. So I wonder if somebody might decide to leave.
I just feel like, you know, and I'll say a name. I know we're kind of always up in the air about actually dropping names. I feel like Sam Hart's kind of blocked by Joe Royer. I mean, Joe Royer, I think, might be a little bit older than Sam Hart. I could be wrong on that, but I just feel like essentially they're the same player. And I don't know if there's room for both that type of player to see the field.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, they're similar to G Scott too. I think they might be more comfortable as tight ends than what G is, but G's been working, you know, still working at it. And yeah, I still have hope that he can make an impact, but who knows? He's always a name that of someone that probably could get on the field immediately.
He's a name there too, especially if Thurman,
who knows,
him and Thurman could be at that spot too. He's been in the program for a few years. If Thurman and him, if they feel like they're equal, you know, and it's kind of the same thing with Cardale Tate, is it Thurman's opportunity at that point? And I would kind of say I would lean that way, that if everything's equal, that, you know, and give the young guy the shot. I mean, my feelings on that.
And I know people say like Bennett Christian, like he was more of a blocker, which I think there is a role for in Ohio State for a guy that's more of a big body, you know, punishing dude, but you never know how these things are going to shake out. So hopefully the room stays as strong as it possibly can, you know, while getting us to the scholarship limit. But yes, Cardale Tate looked great. I want to make sure I have the right one. Noah Rogers had a big touchdown where,
yeah, I believe that was still
he lost the ball running, but he went back into his arm. So lucky break for the freshman, but it's still nice explosive play he had.
It's something good that the coaches get to yell at him about. Yeah, and like, for sure, you know, tuck that ball better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so offensively, you know, outside the couple things we talked about, I thought they looked all right. I mean, I think there was a lot more doomsdayer people online than needed to be online.
It's but a spring that's Ohio game. State it's fans. A spring game. You got an offensive MVP?
Yeah.
I would say Tate, I think.
I would say Tate, too. He was only out there one
maybe series, Chip. Chip had the long touchdown.
I like Chip. I liked what I saw from Hayden. I'll probably say Tate. But I will say that, and I know he was really only out there for a series, maybe two series, but good luck this year, everybody, with Marv. Because
no one's going to cover him anyways.
Like, Marv, he looked like in full season form to begin with. I mean, he was catching everything, was thrown to him. I mean, he
Marvin the slot.
God forbid.
That's a scary.
That guy starts learning. That guy could start playing slot. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Like, does that, like, you know, somehow some stupid guy that has done nothing for his entire career, which is going to have a couple decent catches this year, is going to win the Blitnikoff, though, because that's usually how that goes. So. Like some guy from Pitt probably will win the Blitnikoff when it should be more, and when reality it should be Marv Jr. But you know,
I don't know. That's a scary thought of him, a safety getting Marv downfield though.
No, I don't even think you could. You'd almost have to play the corner inside. If Marv's lining up one side,
you have to. I mean, that's not a, there's no safety in the world.
The safety's got to go out to the outside. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, defense then. You go ahead and start. Just what do you like?
I mean, obviously, we talked about the ugly. I liked how the defensive line looked. I mean, I thought they did everything that they needed to do. We said that before the spring game, like, go after these guys because you needed to see where the offensive line was. I was glad that they did it. You know, they were in a lot on those guys.
And let's just face it. The defensive line need that mentality to attack again.
Yeah. And they do. They definitely do because, you know, I think the back end, we're going to be fine. It's just, we need to get we need to get back into the mindset that we're going to start putting quarterbacks on their butts mm-hmm. and sacking guys. And it's just everything helps everything. And, you know, it makes the secondary look better. It makes the linebackers look better, you know. And I think that's what they need. And we kind of got in the mindset towards the, you know, in the games that the defense looked subpar last year. Yeah. And I granted we were too aggressive against Michigan, but the defensive line wasn't getting to the damn quarterbacks. And so if maybe we wouldn't have needed to have been like blitzing as many guys and bringing so many, you know, kitchen sink blitzes and, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. If some of that stuff, if they were getting to the players, and I guess I just remember in the original Rushman, the Bosa brothers, Chase. I mean, even, you know, you think back to 2014. I mean, you think about how many times Bennett and Adolphus said, Steve Miller Band got it on guys. Yeah. And it's just, it's like we're missing a little bit of a mindset. And these guys are really, really good. And like,
there's something missing.
Like, I want to get back to the thing is just get to the quarterback, man. That's it. And that's all you really need to think about. And just, you know, and make offensive quarterbacks. You're not playing, you know, a number one first round draft pick. This is college football. This is not the NFL. Right. Like in the NFL, you might have, yeah, you got to get a little bit more. You can't just rely on everything that you're going to go hit a quarterback because things are going to happen really fast. Those quarterbacks are used to letting things happen really fast in their mind. Eight of the 12 guys you're going to play in the regular season, nine of the 12 guys you're in your season can't do that. So like get back to like, we're going to put somebody on their butt and, you know, and it just seems like that is gone over the last couple seasons and it's kind of hurt them in somewhat, I think. And I think that shows.
I mean, I feel like, and I'm not a pass rush specialist, so I could be completely off base here, but I feel like there has to be a little bit every now and then for a defensive end, especially one with as talented as what Ohio State gets, that you gotta sometimes you have to be a little selfish. Sometimes you just have to say, hey, I'm rushing the passer. You know, I'm going to take that gamble here because who knows what's going to happen. And I don't think it's ever hurt their defense before. Like with the guys you talked about, you know, when Joey Bosa or Chase Young were like, hey, it's third down. Most likely this is a pass situation. My thought is I'm going to pass this tackle. I'm getting the quarterback. Like he's not thinking about what if this is a run, you know, and it feels like it's just been too much apprehension the last 2 years, 3 years, whatever it's been, that they're like, hey, we got to hold up and see, you know, what's going on with it. And they're not getting to the quarterback. And that's my opinion. I could be wrong. Like I said, I'm no pass rush specialist, but I just feel like that sometimes you got to just say go to this defensive line.
On third and long, you know, if you get caught and they catch you on a screen pass, okay, it happens.
Yeah.
But like, I know, and I've kind of been one of those guys that said, I wish Ohio State offensively would run more screens, but screens don't work as much as people like to think that they work.
Sure.
Especially when the quarterback is too rushed and you got athletes on the outside of your defensive linemen that like it, you should be able to, I'm not saying sack the quarterback, but you should be able to just rush the quarterback just that second too early that the blocks are just not there yet.
Yeah.
Even if they try to run a screen, somebody's going to be there to make that tackle because, you know, you got Sawyer or you got JT that are just coming, breathing right down this guy's neck that he has to throw it just a half a second earlier than even he wants to throw right. it. And, you know, the offensive line is just not in their places yet. And that's only on a screen. And a lot of times on third and long, you know, the screen's not even considered. Some teams every now and then probably should consider it more, but a lot of teams just don't.
Right.
And, you know, they're looking downfield and, you know, so you have your opportunities there. So yeah, I really liked what I saw from the defensive line. Now, granted the offensive line, we talked about that already, but I'm glad what they did. Moving on to the next level.
Yeah.
Hicks, my God.
How do you keep him off the field? I mean, you have to have a plan to have that guy needs significant snaps. He's a game changer. He's too athletic. I mean, he's too good. And I'm not saying he needs to start over Steel Chambers. Maybe he's better than Steel. But Steel's good enough. I think he should still start. I don't think there's a huge difference between the two. I could be wrong, but the guy's got to, he has to play significant snaps on defense, not on special teams. I mean, he can do special teams too, but he needs to be out there as a linebacker. He is a game changer.
I said last year that you definitely, 2 years ago, they rotated way too many people all over the field. And I was definitely against that. Linebacker is a position where you got to find the guys that work for you. But even in a two linebacker set, you can run three or four linebackers. Yeah. I think there's room for Cody Simon. I think there's room for Hicks. And you know what? Get them to learn both positions. And if there's a game you have to play with three linebackers, that's even better.
Yeah.
But if you're primarily going to play with those two positions, you can run you can run that out of four players, and they should be able to find a rotation there where, you know, those guys, that Hicks and Simon, if those are the two, maybe it's Hicks and Powers. I don't know. Like, whoever the next two are should be able to get significant playing time. And I'm not talking about garbage time. I'm talking about that. What I saw from Hicks is that he is just too good not to be on the field. And he just brings something a little different.
It's a lot different.
And could you imagine? And like I'm all on the Tommy train right now. Like, there's like nothing, like anything I thought about Tommy Eichenberg going into before last season, he answered every question for me last season. And so like, I'm thinking, yeah. And I like Steel a lot, and I'm not saying necessarily Hicks needs to be your starter, but it could be a 1A, 1B type thing where, you know, they kind of play equal amount of time. And like, because I'm kind of thinking right now, the damage that I'm not thinking about the damage necessarily Steel and Hicks can do together. I'm thinking about the damage that Tommy and Hicks can do together.
Right.
And,
but I mean, think about what Steel and Hicks can do too. I mean, it's a lot of athleticism out there.
Fair point. And it's just, and that's why you need to get these guys on the field. It doesn't need to be 6-7 deep and like, well, we got to rotate 6-7 guys in. No, you can have a 3 or 4 man linebacker rotation and easily rotate those four guys out of two positions and be fine with it. And that's kind of the way I'm looking at this, because even if you go 3, what I saw from Hicks is there's no way that guy cannot play.
No, like, he needs significant snaps in the first half. Like, you know, it's like he needs to be on the second series or third series, whatever it is, but he needs to see the field a lot.
Yeah. Because I mean, the dude's going to jump around and go for 6.
Oh my God.
Interception. Yeah. But like this year. And so, yeah, he's, you can tell he plays instinctively, and that's something that they've, and maybe that's just starting to catch up now that, you know, for a lot of years, we weren't seeing instinctive play anymore at linebackers. And that could be a part that, you know, Knowles knows what he's doing. You know,
that's something we just haven't seen it on defense in a while. Just instinctive dudes, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, that could be that the coaching staff is now starting to really gel together that, Knowles has taught those linebackers better. Now you got a guy in there like James that knows what he's doing, that he really understands the finer parts of the linebacker position. And maybe you're starting to feel it too in the secondary that Walton and Eliano are starting to come into their own and they're starting to mesh with each other. Cause you're seeing a lot of great stuff from the secondary.
Walton's boys are the Walton gang back there, man. They're looking tough.
Yeah. I'm really feeling again, spring game. Our corners looked pretty good against our wide receivers in that spring game.
Yeah. And we praised the receivers, but the corners might've won the day, you know,
like, and that is the best receiving core that they're going to play all year.
For
like, I don't think
bar none for sure. That. I mean, unless you get Alabama, I'm sure recruited really well at receiver or something, you know,
I don't even know if those guys are as good as,
no, I mean, they're definitely not as good as Ohio State's, but you know, there might be someone on Ohio State's level that they see down the road, but they're not going to play anyone as good as as a whole unit, it's the Buckeyes.
What I saw from those guys, from Burke, from Hancock, is like,
well, that
you can play.
Igbinosin looked good.
Yeah.
You can play Tyler a lot. Brown was okay.
But you're going to be able to play a lot this year. That you're going to be able to do a lot of things with the linebackers and the safeties, because you're going to be able to play man coverage on the outside.
Yeah.
And like, and that's not going to be, I don't think that's really stretching it. Like I, you know, those three guys, the kid from Mississippi and Burke and Hancock, that they're going to be locked down corners, and that is fine. You, for two corners, you easily can run three corners out there, and yeah, you find a decent rotation going in there, and you get Brown in there every time too. Jair, and you know that.
Oh, I mean, Jermaine Matthews looked okay, the freshman. I know Calvin Simpson Hunt, he's supposed to be a man to man specialist, so he's coming in the fall. I mean, who knows what type of significant playing time he'll get, but yeah, I mean, it's, I like where Walton is as a coach. He definitely likes, you know, the man up type stuff, and that's the type of cornerback I like. So
yeah,
I'm good with that.
Yeah. And so I really liked what I saw of that, and I liked what I saw from the safeties. You know, they got depth there.
Sonny Proctor. Yeah, they look good.
Yeah. And I mean, is this going to be the year that really Proctor can stay healthy and really like, cause you know, he had another good spring game, and like, he's had a couple of those in the past, you know,
it's hard to trust a guy after that long, because it's always just not clicked. And I don't know if it was fair last year, you know, that he got pulled after one play and Ransom just never gave the job back. I mean, Ransom, I mean, at the end of the day, he made some not horrible plays, but he had some mistakes against Michigan, you know, and why didn't Proctor get to come back out? Maybe the moment was too big then, but I like what Proctor does, man. I think he's a ball hawk. I think he's a playmaker, but it's hard. I don't know. It's hard to trust him sometimes too, though, that, I mean, we're going on what, year six?
Yeah. The one last thing I just want to say about the secondary, and then we'll get moving on. That I think that, I know it's just a spring game, but I think we saw something that they've had both of their coaches there for two seasons. Yeah,
for sure. I agree.
They looked like they were a lot more comfortable than what I felt like they looked last year, even in the spring game last year. And that there's been so much turnover in that coaching staff and that back end that it was refreshing that I saw that. It seems like that Walton and Eliano are speaking the same language, that it seemed like the safeties and the corners. I mean, again, just a spring game. Offensive line looked very suspect. McCord was in a, you know, he hasn't really played a lot. They look pretty good against our receivers. And so I think going forward, knowing that, I'm assuming that they're going to get better as the more that they play together, that they're going to look really good this year against teams that don't have our receivers.
Right.
And exactly. So that, and maybe that lets Larry Johnson really put a foot up some of his guys' butts, been like, we got a really good secondary. Go hit that quarterback, man. You know, and you know, and that's just going to help the linebackers out too. And so I think they're, you know, and I know there was a lot of anger towards Knowles at the end of last season from a lot of Buckeye fans, but maybe we're starting. It just seems like the coaching staff, it seemed like out of the two units, and we saw some impressive things on the offense, it seemed like out the two units that the defense was more crisper in the spring game. And I think that has a lot to do that entire coaching staff is basically now together for a second season. And yes, they're adding James in as a kind of an off the field coach right now. And he'll probably be a full coach here, hopefully in a year, but it's just adding another brain to the mix. And it seems like that Eliano and Walton know what Knowles wants in the back end. And it seemed like that they really gelling is just the best way I can put it, that they're gelling together and they're just feeding off each other very well right now. Yeah. And I really want to look forward to see what that looks like in the season, because I think if that, we haven't seen a really good, we haven't seen a competent secondary since 2019. And
yeah,
like, and I know that's only sounds like that's, well, that's just been a couple of years ago. But if you think about it, we hadn't seen a competent secondary really prior to that until 2016, 2017, a little bit, like, you know, but 2016 for sure. 2017 wasn't a bad secondary. 18 wasn't a great secondary. At 20 and 21, at different, I mean, you know, in 22, there was some decent stuff in there at times, and then there was a lot to leave to be desired a lot
safety
of times.
Play for Ohio State's been pretty bad outside of 2019 yeah. for a
couple, so
for
it's like
years now,
like we just have not seen it in the corners. And granted, we talked about it already that a lot of it has to do with the recruiting issues and the turnover and stuff like that. And we're just now really starting to catch up with the depth. And yeah. it seems like not only the depth and the talent are catching up. And so, like, and I think that's just a lot to do with Walton. And, you know, unless somebody, and this, I think this is a great opportunity because Tim Walton ain't going to go become a head coach somewhere in college football. Like, right. I just don't see that. And, like, yeah, maybe he could get pulled back into the NFL somewhere if somebody wants him.
Well, that's very true. Yeah.
And that could happen. You never know, but it seems like this is a guy, a corner that they could keep for the next several seasons and, you know, really a corner coach and should be able to develop some strong corners there. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't agree more with what you've said.
Yeah. All right. Real quick. NFL drafts coming up, starting tomorrow. It'll be this weekend. It's always a fun time of the year. Again,
not, the NFL, not for Buckeye quarterbacks. It is.
Yeah. Well, just real quick on the NFL. It just always seems like the NFL is light years ahead of the other leagues because, you know, the NBA playoffs are going on and the biggest thing that's going to, and Major League Baseball is going on and the NHL playoffs. Biggest thing that's going to happen this weekend is the NFL draft. And it sure. just seems like the NFL's always got whatever their big ticket items are up for on TV that they always are just, they outdo everybody else. So, you know, I always love watching the draft. It's fun. And I'm still always looking forward to it. Tomorrow, it seems like, I mean, it kind of seems like Paris is probably going to be the first Buckeye off the board. You know, mm-hmm. obviously seems like Stroud's kind of fallen some, but yeah, just, you never know.
Especially when it comes to quarterbacks, man, someone could trade up. I mean, some people might be looking to move on. Like I've seen people talk about like Detroit. Is Goff still at Detroit, right? Like, are they really ready to move on from him? I mean, I'm not saying Goff's great by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's a serviceable starter in the NFL. I don't know if he needs to be replaced already. I don't know. I mean, I cannot fathom that there's a universe where CJ Stroud isn't the second quarterback off the board, but I guess he doesn't have all the physical traits of Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. You know, he just puts up numbers, but fuck, if he can't put up a bench press and run faster, you know, what the hell? He can't be drafted. I'm sorry for the language. It baffles me. I mean, I've seen odds have dropped that Will Levis is going to be the number one pick in the draft. And what universe, I caught myself that time. What universe are you living in that Will Levis, who's never done anything in college football, could be the number, because he could throw 50 yards on his knees? I mean, we've seen this before. Jamarcus Russell did that, and the guy,
he could throw 75 yards on his
knees. The guy busted out in a year, like 2 years, whatever it was. Like, don't try to be smarter than, you know, everyone else in the room. Just pick the guy that has put up numbers.
I don't know if it's the, my one thing about Levis is that there's always that guy that comes out of nowhere in that last week. That's just a bunch of smoke. And is he the smoke? Like, you know, is a bunch of people throwing him out there trying to, like, is Carolina trying to cause possibly, you think that they want to draft one of these guys because they traded up to get it, but maybe they're not enamored with any of them. And they think that maybe they could fall back a few positions and get somebody that, you know, maybe they like CJ Stroud, but they think that they could get it Stroud at 4 or 5.
Like, I don't know. You know. I mean, I just, they're going to take Bryce Young, and I just, I don't know. I think he's too small to be an NFL quarterback. I really do. And I know
he might,
games changed, but it hasn't.
Like, again, like you said, it really hasn't. Like, yeah, there's guys, you know, there's more athletic quarterbacks than there used to be, but you got to have some sort of size on you. Like, you know, even Kyler Murray, who's got some weight behind him, but you know, he's been a little fragile and stuff.
Right. And that's what people said. He was too small. I mean, he's got a little, he's kind of thick, you know, but
there's no college.
This
isn't college. And you know, you don't do some of the stuff that, where you trick some of these guys out and, you know, and get, and like, there's going to be plays where you trick a guy out from getting a sack on you. And then you get crushed at the one, you get a 1 yard gain and get crushed. And yeah, where that might've been a 20 yard gain in college football.
Exactly.
But like the second guy through is just as the guy you faked out from getting the sack, the next guy coming through is just as good as him. Like, you know, I mean, it's just a different world. And like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. I know that I got the scarlet and gray bias glasses going on and stuff like that, but I just think CJ is better than, if Bryce Young gets taken over CJ Stroud,
I can live with that.
The guy's won a Heisman. You know, he's been a legitimate quarterback and on a legitimate team. I don't see which world Will Levis gets drafted before CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. To me, these are just guys that get, this is why the teams that are perennial losers are perennial losers, because it's like that's that kid that got taken a couple years ago over from the Niners, and the Niners aren't a perennial loser, like, you know, but that was dumb.
Like Trey Lance. And, yeah.
I yeah. Mean, that was stupid.
Well, I mean, I think Zach Wilson was worse than Trey Lance, though. I mean, that was,
yeah. And it just seems like that. It's always like these teams get caught in their heads somehow. And, you know, again, it doesn't matter the turnover and the smart geniuses. There's a reason. And this is coming from Browns fans. There is a reason why the teams that are always picking towards the front, it doesn't matter the new coach. It's the coach. It's the new flavor of the month with the coach. It's the new flavor of the month with the general manager. It's the new flavor of the month with the quarterback. But somehow they're always picking in the top five. Like it's, and that's, and a lot of these teams, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
And it always seems like, yeah, there's out of nowhere, there's a legitimate team that gets has a bad season. And they draft early, and somehow that team is the one that always picks the best player. Like,
it's like, I just,
because they're always, because I don't know if it's just a better mindset that if when you're picking later in a draft, because it's like you're not, you don't get the fortunes of seeing the Lamborghini. It's like, well, I got to go pick who the best linebacker in the draft.
Right.
Is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so maybe they just think about things a lot differently because they're used to being picking farther back. And, you know, it's not necessarily who the quote unquote best player or who quote unquote the most gifted player is. It's just like, I need a really good linebacker. Here's the best linebacker in the draft. That's who we're drafting if he's there. And if not, the next best player we need actually a corner more than we need a linebacker in reality or whatever, that I'm going to pick that corner. But like, they actually think about stuff throughout. So I don't know. And I just think CJ, I know I'm rambling, but CJ Stroud should be higher than Will Levis. So
yeah, I just don't even remember a game. I don't remember a game Will Levis played well against a good team, you know, like Will Levis took Kentucky to this win, or almost did, you know, but they're Kentucky, but he kept them in the game the whole time. Like,
honestly, is he the one that looked okay against us in the one when he
came, right? The best game he's ever played was as a backup coming in for Sean Clifford against Ohio State.
Like, yeah. Which the game we weren't going to lose. So like,
yeah, I mean, he played good. I'm not going to, you know, he had a good, I don't know. I'm baffled by all of it, man.
Yeah.
But they're smart. I mean, they're much smarter than me. They're general managers or whatever. Who knows? Who knows what the hell's going to happen? CJ didn't do himself any favors, though, because that cognitive test scores came out. He said, I'm not a test taker or whatever. And CJ, he was a little hurt by all the talk. And
I think CJ, the one thing CJ does need to, he needs to find himself a good PR person.
Yeah.
And, he needs to take some media 101 classes. I mean, I could have told you that from Ohio State.
But he wasn't wrong. He pretty much told him, watch the tape, you know?
Yeah, but it's like when he came out and said that, like,
I'm not a running back.
And made his comments about the snow up in Ann Arbor. It's like, so yeah, he needs to, you're going to be making good money wherever you get drafted. Hire yourself a media guy that can teach you the ropes, how to do the media, like, you know, because that's important. And, you know, media guys will, you're going to say stupid stuff to them, and that gets played a lot over and over and over again. And if you don't have, if you're not doing as well as you want to be doing that stuff, fans start really paying way too much attention to some of that stuff because, you know, they don't think you're good enough. So, yeah, he could definitely help use one of those. Seems like Paris, there's still a lot of talks that Arizona might be singling him out at number three. Seems like he's going to be the first Buckeye off the board, you know, which we'll see. I mean, if it happens, I mean, Paris is going to be a phenomenal NFL player, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
That's, I definitely don't see that as a reach. Wherever he goes, I easily could see him as a top five player. Especially, you know, I think he would be a great fit for Arizona. If the plan going is to keep Kyler for the time being, then, you know, it doesn't hurt putting some big beef
of good athletic tackle in front of him.
So that's smart.
Okay, who do you have first round for Buckeye? So obviously Paris, CJ is going to go somewhere in the first round.
Yeah, because there's going to be a run on the quarterbacks. And even if CJ slides, he's not sliding out after the first. I mean, that's it, right, for them, right?
JSN.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I see all three of them going in the top 15. And then I don't know if we see any others in the first, maybe.
DeJuan is so interesting. I still think with his size, someone takes a gamble maybe late in the first round on him. Cause like, I mean, the Bengals probably could use the help still on the offensive line.
It's somebody that's not the Browns. Even though I don't think the Browns have a first round pick, it's somebody
that have a second round pick.
It's going to be, if he goes to the first round, it's obviously going to be some in the AFC North because the other three teams all put the Buckeye players in front of the Browns. So like, I can see Cincinnati. I can see Pittsburgh. I see Baltimore. Like,
I think he could do well in the AFC North. I mean, DeJuan, he probably needs to get a little bit tougher for the NFL, but I think he could be successful, but I could see him going in the first round because I think his size and speed intrigues people.
Yeah. I think he'll fall to the second, but it wouldn't surprise me if he got taken in the second half of the first round.
And that's got to be a good pitch for Justin Fry if he can get two tackles in the first round.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That would definitely help.
The Buckeyes need to be able to use that pitch. Desperately, they need to be able to use.
They need to solve that because
they need to get some tackles in that room.
Outside of DeJuan, so I think the three for sure are going in the first round. DeJuan possibly could be a fourth. after that, I don't know where everybody's really fallen. Like Whipler, I think will probably be in second day somewhere.
I could see a third round pick for him.
Possibly early third day. I think he'll be third or fourth round. But
Harrison, that's an intriguing one.
It is. He's a very what if guy. He's a guy that very easily could have been a first round pick. He just never really. He always showed flashes. It was just never there.
Great against the run.
He could be a second day guy. I think he could be a third rounder. He could be a third or fourth round, you know, which is third day. I think him and Whipler will kind of be in that same zone.
Yeah, I agree with that. If he was healthy enough to run, I think he could have helped himself because he put up a, you know, 4.5 40. That would have looked really, really impressive, but that is what it is.
Brown,
Cam.
Yeah. Where do we think he's?
He didn't run well. And I mean, that was what he had going for him. I think everyone knows he's fast though. 40s are weird. I don't know. I mean, probably 6th, 7th round for him if drafted. I'm going to say undrafted free agent.
He might get one. He might get lucky that the reputation of Ohio State secondaries might come into
Tron Vincent.
Push him somewhere in that thing.
I think he's undrafted. Hickman's probably late. I think he'll get drafted, but he'll be a late pick. This could be one of the quieter drafts for Ohio State recently. It should be a good first round, I would think. 3 to 4.
I agree with that. All right, anything else you want to hit tonight?
Just thank everyone for putting up with, you know, me being sick over here. But no, I mean, I'm good. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.